This is The Guardian.
I'm Jane Lee, coming to you from Wurundjeri land, and this is the full story. Two Australians have died from complications involving a drug contained in frog mucus. It's called Cambo. Health authorities say Cambo is a poison with no proven medical benefit. But many in the alternative therapy scene are still using it, hoping that it will heal them physically, psychologically, or spiritually. So how is this drug being used, and why is it still so popular? Today, the risks and the appeal of Cambo. It's Wednesday, the 24th of May.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So, Joe, what is Cambo?
Cambo is the mucus secreted from a frog that goes by many names.
Joe Hinchliffe is a reporter for Guardian Australia.
Including the South American giant leaf frog and the giant monkey frog. The frog is caught in its natural habitat, which is the jungles of Amazonia, and it's stressed or it's manipulated so that it exudes toxins and peptides from the pores in its back. And from what I'm told, it's pretty similar to how a cane toad will exert toxins from its back when it's under stress from a predator.
Mm.
And so traditionally, Cambo has been used by indigenous people in the Amazon in ceremonies held under the tutelage of shamans.
So Joe, how is Cambo meant to be used?
So traditionally, it's administered through shallow burns in the skin using a smouldering vine. And then the frog mucus, the Cambo, is applied and it's absorbed through the skin. A person then experiences pretty quick reaction, which can often involve vomiting. And this purging is said to release psychological and physiological toxins and impurities and cleanse the body and the mind.
Mm.
But the Therapeutic Goods Administration has said there's no evidence it has any medical benefit. And the Australian Medical Association considers Cambo to be a, quote, significant health risk.
Right. And so have we seen Cambo being used in Australia?
Absolutely. For at least a decade, it's been flourishing in underground ceremonies. And certainly until 2021, when it was made illegal, it was pretty easy to get a hold of. And so we've seen it popping up in Australia, becoming trendy in alternative circles. And there are many people who have really taken to it and either felt euphoric after participating in Cambo ceremonies and even attribute a whole list of physical and psychological and spiritual healing from these ceremonies. But so recently, Cambo has been in the news because of two tragic deaths involving Cambo ceremonies. And both inquests to those deaths have been held in recent weeks in the northern rivers town of Lismore.
Mm. And so you mentioned two people have died. So who are these people and what happened to them?
So I'll start with Jared Antonovich. Jared was born in regional Victoria. He was described by his father as someone who took to music like a duck to water, a talented musician, someone who was in a loving relationship and whose partner described him as an aspiring writer who was putting the finishing touches on his second book.
And how did Jared Antonovich begin to start using Cambo?
Well, Antonovich's life was turned upside down as a young man when he was involved in a really horrific car accident. He was flown to hospital and was in a coma for several weeks. And he was left with lasting, lifelong physical and mental impediments as a result of that. That also set Antonovich on a journey of healing and spirituality. So we understand that Antonovich was first exposed to Cambo when he traveled to South America in 2003. And when he came back to Australia and ended up living in Lismore, he continued to practice the use of Cambo and other Amazonian substances such as ayahuasca in the alternative medicine scene that's flourishing in and around Lismore. And then in October 2021, just days after Cambo was made illegal by the Therapeutic Goods Administration, Antonovich attended a six-day-long festival in the highlands of the Northern Rivers, where participants took place in Cambo and ayahuasca ceremonies.
So what did the court hear happen to Jared Antonovich on the day that he died?
Around 10 a.m. that morning, he'd partaken in a Cambo ceremony. The inquest heard from a number of witnesses who described graphic and disturbing accounts of his condition continuing to deteriorate. They spoke about his neck swelling to his jawline, which was described in pretty graphic terms. They talked about him struggling to breathe, moaning, about the fact that he couldn't walk unaided. And this was going on throughout the day. In the evening at around 8 p.m., he was carried to a tent for an ayahuasca ceremony, and he was laid down on a mat in the back of that ceremony. Although participants were shielded from looking at Antonovich by a group of people who they referred to as guardians, who were keeping an eye on proceedings. Instead, Antonovich's labored breathing was heard in between breaks in the songs that were being led by the festival organizer. Eventually, someone did attempt CPR on Antonovich as the ayahuasca ceremony continued, and about 11:30 p.m. that night, an ambulance was called. When the paramedics arrived an hour later, because this was a remote location that was difficult to get to, they found Antonovich just inside the doorway, lying on his back. They described him as blue in the face and clearly deceased. So we heard from paramedics at the inquest who described it being really difficult to get information from the crowd about what had happened to Jared. They were told that he had suffered an asthma attack. And that was a story that continued to circulate for weeks and months after his death. No one told the paramedics that Antonovich had consumed Cambo. And one paramedic said that he was told to move away from Jared because it was affecting his aura, while another woman was massaging his feet. People continued chanting and still carrying on with this ayahuasca ceremony as Jared breathed his last breaths. And the inquest would later hear that Antonovich died from a perforated esophagus, which was most likely the result of excessive vomiting.
This sounds awful, Joe. Why did it take so long for the people around him to call for medical help?
Yeah, well, this is the key question that's being looked at into the inquest. The coroner is trying to establish a timeline of events tracking Jared's decline. So one of the key complications is the vomiting, the fainting, even swelling of the face, seen by some of these practitioners as being a normal part in a Cambo ceremony. So the question is, at what time did Jared's condition go from being a normal part of the ceremony into something that was life-threatening and ultimately would kill him? So we heard from some witnesses that that could have begun as early as around 10, 11 a.m. that morning. He wouldn't die for another 12 hours.
Has Jared's family appeared before the inquest?
They have. Jared's father has provided some really emotional and moving testimony to the inquest. When Antonovich's family heard about his passing, clearly, they had a lot of questions. And one of the key questions that is being raised here is who was responsible for making that call to the ambulance that could have saved Jared's life? Jared's father himself is of the belief that there was collective amnesia among participants of that festival when it comes to answering a question like that. So we heard Jared's father say that, quote, "I'm of the firm belief there's been a cover-up. There was no medical help available. There was no medical staff. There was no risk mitigation practices whatsoever. It reminded me of the old doctors in the Wild West, you know, that sell a bottle of spirits and this cures all."
So, Joe, you mentioned that there are currently two inquests investigating deaths related to Cambo. Who is the other person who's recently died from this?
So the other inquest was held in the same courtroom in Lismore the week prior to Jared's, and that's into the death of a woman called Natasha Lechner. Lechner was a 39-year-old woman living in Mullumbimby near Byron Bay. In many, many ways, Natasha was very different to Jared, but there were also a lot of common threads between the two and certainly some similar questions that arose from their tragic passings. Like Jared, Natasha was also someone who had embraced alternative medicines after experiencing a debilitating condition. In her case, that was a chronic back condition, which saw her unable to continue practicing her trade as a hairdresser. She was also someone who was focused and engaged in her health. And the inquest heard that she saw Cambo as complementary to mainstream medicine. Mm. She also wanted to be able to help others. And that was a key message that was put forward by her friends and family at the inquest. She saw Cambo as something that had really helped her. She saw it as her calling. And it was something that she wanted to learn to do safely and to administer to others. So she'd taken, in the weeks prior to that fatal ceremony, she had taken a short course under the auspices of an international organization which purported to train people in the safe practice of Cambo. And this had all taken place in 2019 when, at the time, Cambo was not yet deemed illegal in Australia.
So what did the inquest hear happen to Natasha Lechner on the day that she died?
She was holding her first Cambo ceremony in the sunroom of the flat that she lived in Mullumbimby. She invited along a friend of hers who had been her mentor in Cambo up until this point to participate in this ceremony. And she first applied the Cambo to her friend before her friend then applied the Cambo to Lechner, giving her 5 burns on her arms and her chest. The inquest heard afterwards that things turned pretty badly for Lechner almost straight away. She felt faint very quickly afterwards. She laid herself down and then she sat up and she grabbed her friend and said, "It's not good." And she fainted sitting up. The inquest heard that Lechner was murmuring, her lips turned blue, her hands began twitching, her breathing became laboured and she started frothing in her mouth.
Mm. And how did Lechner's friend respond to witnessing this?
I think it's fair to say that she was panicked by what she saw. She herself had only just had the Cambo applied to her, so she was probably not in what we would think of as a normal mind frame. The court heard that she did attempt CPR, but she didn't seek any professional medical assistance as she didn't have a phone, and even if she did, she didn't know the number to call in an emergency, 000. She's originally from Northern Ireland.
Mm.
So instead, the court heard that in these last moments of Lechner's life, her friend, instead of calling an ambulance, was attempting things like psychic SOS, downloading from ancestors, and working in the etheric in an attempt to save Lechner.
Hmm.
And then at some point after 11 a.m, Lechner's good friend and flatmate came home and she found Lechner collapsed and frothing at her mouth, and she immediately recognised that she needed help. She called an ambulance, and within less than 5 minutes, that ambulance had arrived, but they were unable to save Lechner and she died at the scene.
And what was the cause of Natasha Lechner's death?
Well, that's what the inquest is trying to determine, but we did hear from medical experts that the most likely cause of Lechner's death was a sudden cardiac event. We also heard of the 61 lesions from Cambo ceremonies that were on Lechner's body in various states of healing. And those included 5 angry and red burns, which had been applied in that last fatal ceremony, burns to both Lechner's arms and also to her chest.
Next, why are Australians still using Cambo despite the risks?
Hey, Laura Murphy Oates here. This month marks Guardian Australia's 10th anniversary, so we're putting on a special public event to celebrate. If you live in Sydney, come join us on Thursday, the 25th of May, to hear directly from Guardian Australia editors and journalists as they unpick the biggest moments of the past 10 years and let you in on what we have in store for the future. Tickets are selling fast, so search Guardian Birthday and Seymour Centre on Google or find us on the Seymour Centre website. You can also watch the live stream of the event at Guardian Australia's YouTube page. See you there.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Seems strange, Joe, that this drug, which was originally used in Indigenous healing ceremonies in South America so many years ago, is now being used in a completely different context in Australia. It just seems so far removed from how this was originally practiced.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that comes to a key question in both of these cases, and that's the issue of expertise. So in both the Antonovich and the Lechner ceremonies, there were people involved who were claiming to be authorities and claiming to be experts of the administration of these traditional Indigenous medicines. Now, these people weren't Indigenous to the places that they were claiming this knowledge. And questions are raised, who made them experts? Who made them authorities? It's a very, very different set of circumstances in which the ceremonies are taking place in a sunroom in Mullumbimby, as opposed to the jungles of the Amazon, where these practices have been ongoing for generations amongst Indigenous people.
So we now have two people who've died in really tragic circumstances using this drug. What are some of the key problems that these cases raise for using Cambo?
Well, I think, Jane, that in both cases it was clear that despite claims of expertise in the administration of Cambo and ayahuasca, in both cases there was no plans in place if something were to go wrong. So tragically, I think in both cases, these two people who were on a journey towards spirituality and healing and who'd sought people to surround themselves who could help guide them on that journey, instead found themselves in the last moments of their lives when they desperately needed help, surrounded by people who were either unwilling or unable to take the steps that might have saved their lives.
Hmm. So where are both of these inquests into these deaths up to now?
So Lechner's inquest has finished and we're waiting for the coroner to hand down her findings. Jared's inquest is ongoing and we're to hear from another witness in a few months, but the inquest itself won't continue until next February. So we won't know the results of that inquest until at least next year. Although it is possible that the coroner could recommend criminal prosecution if she believes that there's been enough evidence submitted at her court for there to be an indictable offence.
What are some of the recommendations that we're expecting from these inquests when they wrap up?
Well, in terms of recommendations, both Cambo and ayahuasca are already illegal in Australia. So the main questions to be answered from these inquests are, when and how did Natasha and Jared die? And there's a possibility that should the coroner find evidence for an indictable offence, that criminal charges could be pursued.
So, Joe, as you've mentioned, the TGA has banned the sale, supply and use of Cambo since 2021. Has that helped at all, or are these ceremonies still happening?
I think it's clear that these ceremonies are still continuing, especially in places like the Northern Rivers, but not just exclusively there. And I think one thing to be raised as well is that it's not just these substances that are being used. So there are many other indigenous medicines that are being brought into the country and used in similar kind of ceremonies. So one of the lessons that both the Lechner and the Antonovich families are trying to get broadcast from these inquests are lessons to be learned for people who are involved in these cultures of alternative medicines. They want people who are partaking in ceremonies like these to be made aware of the real risks that they face. And they'd also like to see people who engage in risky behaviour like this to have a plan if something goes wrong, to be in a position to seek professional medical assistance, you know, should things take a turn as they did tragically in both of these cases.
That was Joe Hinchliffe. He's a reporter for Guardian Australia. You can find all of Joe's reporting on these two inquests we've been discussing at theguardian.com. And I recommend you check out his feature article with Susan Chenery about the culture and belief systems of the Northern Rivers region where these deaths occurred. It's called Alternative Reality: Two Cambo Deaths Spark Soul Searching in Australia's Counterculture Capital. We'll post a link to that article on the Full Story website. That's it for today. This episode was produced by Joe Koning, Karishma Luthria, James Milsom and myself. Sound design and mixing by Daniel Simo. Our theme music was composed by Joe Koning. The executive producer was Hannah Parks. I'm Jane Lee. Catch you next time.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.